Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we explore the Aaronic blessing. This is part one. Let's pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will discover your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 to 27, and I'm reading from the NIV. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Just to there, and may God bless his living word to us today and always. Over the next few weeks, we will be exploring these very well-known words of Scripture, known to many as the Aaronic blessing, but also called the priestly blessing. I think that these verses are perhaps the best known of the whole book of Numbers, which is sometimes thought to be no more interesting than the book of Leviticus. They are a record of God's blessing that the priests were to pronounce over the congregation of God's people. This blessing continues to be used as part of the worship services of many different Christian and Jewish traditions. We do so as well, in formal services, and sometimes it is sung. Now, the blessing itself is written and presented in a poetic Hebrew style, and is considered to be one of the oldest pieces of scripture dating back over 2,600 years. The ideas expressed in it reveals a great deal of depth about them, with thought given to the structure. For example, in the actual Hebrew, the first line of the blessing, beginning in verse 24, consists of three words, the second line of five words, and the third line of seven words. Each line, in turn, consists of two clauses, that is, two things stated in each line, which we will be looking at as we journey through this short series. Now, in Hebrew, the standard way of writing and speaking is verb, subject, object. In English, we use subject, verb, object. For example, in English, we might say, "Sam plays the organ." In Hebrew, it would be, "Plays Sam the organ." The Lord, Jehovah, is explicitly named as the subject in the first clause of each of the three lines, so that his people know that he is the source of all blessing. This is emphasized again in the closing statement in verse 27, in which God says, "I will bless them," and the "I" here is emphatic in the Hebrew. It is important to note that this wonderful statement of God's intentions comes at the end of the section in chapters 5 to 6, which deals with the holiness and well-being of the entire community of God's people, Israel, who have been set in order and consecrated to the Lord. And so the blessing serves to highlight God's ultimate will for all the people as one of blessing and peace. In this way, the Aaronic blessing stands as the centerpiece of God's desire to affirm his love for his people. God blesses the community, and the people are obedient and eagerly follow his commands. And as the people obediently and eagerly follow his commands, God is pleased to bless the people. And so there is the action of God with the people's response, and their response gives rise to further action from God in this loving relationship. This is also how our relationship with God works as his people under the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. Naturally, as in the Old Testament, the ideal is complete obedience followed by total blessing. This is the will of God. Let's take a closer look now at the first line and its implications. "The Lord bless you and keep you." If we consider the first clause in the first line, namely, "The Lord bless you," by this pronouncement of a blessing, God has a number of things in mind, and what the blessings from God might look like is discovered through the rich understanding of covenant blessing within the life of the Israelite community. In this context, blessing refers to God's gifts of posterity, that is, descendants, land, health, His presence, and all the other things that make life possible and full. And these gifts were linked to living obediently before God. Why? For the sake of a witness to the world and for God's glory. They were a direct and positive action from God as the people of God determined in their hearts to serve the Lord faithfully. The main passage that is tied to this thought is that found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2 to 14. I'm reading from the Message now. "All these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you because you have responded to the voice of God, your God. God's blessings inside the city, God's blessings in the country, God's blessing on your children, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks, God's blessing on your basket and bread bowl, God's blessing on your coming in, God's blessing in your going out. God will defeat your enemies who attack you. They'll come at you on one road and run away on seven roads. God will order a blessing on your barns and workplaces. He'll bless you in the land that God, your God, is giving you. God will form you as a people holy to Him, just as He promised you, if you keep the commandments of God, your God, and live the way He has shown you." And here's the part about witness and God's glory in verse 10. "All the peoples of the earth will see you living under the name of God and hold you in respectful awe. God will lavish you with good things, children from your womb, offspring from your animals, and crops from your land, the land that God promised your ancestors that He would give you. God will throw open the doors of His sky vaults and pour rain on your land on schedule and bless the work you take in hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't have to take out a loan. God will make you the head, not the tail. You'll always be the top dog, never the bottom dog, as you obediently listen to and diligently keep the commands of God, your God, that I am commanding you today. Don't swerve an inch to the right or left from the words that I command you today by going off following and worshipping other gods." And so we see the abundant and generous nature of God's gifts as He pronounces His blessings on His people. This great list of gifts is behind the simple statement, "The Lord bless you." Of course, in Deuteronomy, God tells of the consequences of a life lived apart from and in rebellion to Him. It is the direct opposite to all the blessings, and it is spoken of in the balance of this chapter in Deuteronomy. Now, how should we understand this for us today? It needs to be noted that we are not a people who live as one nation with one covenant guiding the nation under God. Clearly then, there are parts of the reading in Deuteronomy that we are unable to simply take in template form and superimpose on life in South Africa or any other country for that matter. As much as we want, in our pluralistic society, this is impossible and biblically unrealistic. And God knew that this new dispensation was coming. Therefore, He made provision for His people in Christ. As God was involved in every sphere of Israel's life, so too is God's hand on every aspect of ours. He knows our need. And so if we understand our faith as that which we live in commitment to Christ alone, as individuals, as husbands and wives, but also as a community of faith where our commitment is clearly visible and faithful, we can live with the assurance of the blessing of God by His grace that covers us so that our sins and failures are not dealt with as they were under the old covenant. Which means that because of Jesus, the blessing of God is that everything, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty, will absolutely be used by God to shape our lives for His pleasure and glory and for our good. Since this is the case, we rejoice and give thanks with grateful hearts. And so, when we next say to anyone, "The Lord bless you," consider all the implications. Let us now look at the second part of this verse, "The Lord bless you and keep you." The Hebrew word "keep" can also be taken to mean "watch over." So we can say, "The Lord bless you and watch over you." And here the emphasis is on the protection of God. God's keeping of His people involves guarding and protecting us, more specifically from evil and the evil one. See what Psalm 121 says. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night," meaning dangers that lurk in the dark. "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." All God's children are kept by the power of God. We must believe this, lay hold onto this by faith, and remember that there are no rogue atoms or cells in our universe. And if that is the case, when contradictory circumstances arise in the life of a faithful child of God, we must believe that God has plans and intentions that suit His purposes, and they will ultimately be for our good, as well as His glory. Therefore, let's resolve to be certain of this, that God is sovereign and that He loves us. As such, death and disaster in the life of God's people does not always represent a failure or breakdown in their lives, nor does it represent neglect on the part of God. As we close now, we need to keep something very important in mind, that all these good things from God are to serve a purpose, not only to make our lives more comfortable. They are given so that we can be a blessing to the world around us, so that we can live our lives as a witness in the world to the goodness and faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.